Yesterday, because I've been around these parts for a while, and I remember every game as the Tennessee Oilers, then slash Tennessee Titans, they've ever played. But as far as the games inside that building, immediately for me, I go back to 2001. It was a Monday night game. The Tennessee Titans had begun the year 0-3. So 0-3, yet then they put together a mini winning streak. They win two straight. Then lose to Pittsburgh, then beat Jacksonville. So playing Baltimore, the Ravens, Ray Lewis and company, on a Monday night with a record of 3-4, they were facing a end-of-the-game goal line situation where they had the ball. Steve McNair tries to sneak over, but they rule it. The Ravens get penalized for something, so they called it a dead ball situation. In other words, the Titans didn't score, but one play right there. Instead of being 3-5, they would have been 4-4. And I bring it up because they end the year 7-9, but they're not losing to Cleveland and Cincinnati at the end of the year. They lose to Cleveland by 3, Cincinnati by 2 to wrap up their 7-9 campaign. That one play, the difference of 7-9 and 10-6 for that particular team, and you can make the case, we don't know how this season is going to play out, but the way that the game played out as far as what the Tennessee Titans defense did, and just the game of inches ending up in favor of the Titans and not the Chargers. We'll see how it plays out, but certainly, in the situation they find themselves in, 2-5 does not look anything close to 3-4 right now.
Oh, no doubt. And, you think about the way that game looked like it was ending. It looked like it did end. Well, basically end. You would have had Tannehill with 30 or so seconds and, 75 yards. And, of course, you would have been talking about that extra point that was doinked by Cody Parkey, because otherwise it would just be a need for a field goal to tie. And, of course, you'd also be talking a ton about Mike Vrabel's decision near midfield to go for it rather than punt late in the game. Instead, you're talking about this just wacky sequence. Great goal line stand, and the winning play does not happen without Jeffrey Simmons blowing his guy up, the right guard, on the play, which kind of redirects Melvin Gordon just enough. And of course, Wesley Woodyard, that's just as clutch as it gets for a linebacker to be able to sneak the hand in there and knock the ball out. And then all the reviews and all the wackiness and clock stuff and everything, yeah, it might be a game we look back on. And for me, I still, after all that craziness, I still came away saying, hey, Ryan Tannehill was maybe the thing that you take moving forward, knowing that his history is a lot more up and down, but that was a very impressive performance by him.
Well, the biggest thing that kind of stands out for me, and I've been saying this, and no offense to Marcus Mariota, but, just knowing the potential that, look, the Chargers defense, you didn't see them packing it in at the line of scrimmage like we've seen so far in the first six games for the Titans, and mainly because they certainly had a lot more respect for Ryan Tannehill's ability to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I thought they still packed the box a decent amount, but the Titans still, Derrick Henry didn't get much going for a lot of the game, but that was sort of the formula of, he ends up with 90 yards or whatever it is. I think 22 for 90.
And 4.1 yards per carry, which is huge as well.
Yeah, and a lot of it in the second half. That defense starts to get tired. And I thought the drive where they made it 23-13, that to me was one of the best offensive drives or possessions of the year for the Titans. And it ends with a toss sweep. And, Derrick Henry, when he gets going, he's a problem for people. And I just thought he ran really hard and earned a lot of yards. And, of course, that possession then is followed up by one of the worst defensive possessions of the year, because I think if the Titans defense just does what it has been doing all year and at least makes the Chargers work for that touchdown, then you're in a much more advantageous position clockwise getting the ball. But you end up with Wesley Woodyard singled up on Austin Ekeler, and that's the easiest touchdown pass you'll ever throw.
Well, and a lot of that has to do, though, when you look at the Titans' defense, because, first of all, you look at the third quarter, and I major thumbs up. Phillip Rivers and company, only 2 total yards, 1 first down by penalty. That was it in the third quarter. But the big thing for me with regards to the Titans' defense was the fact that, you know, you had the Chargers, even on the opening drive, they moved the ball downfield, all those plays. They, instead of trying to attempt a field goal, they decided to go for it. But they, you know, the Titans defense was on the field for a lot of plays in the first half, although they settled down in the third quarter. But even though the Chargers only managed 10 points, you know, the defense was out there. I mean, we're talking about long drives with the Chargers, especially in that first half.
Oh, yeah. It was a 34-15 plays advantage for the Chargers in the first half, and more than double on time of possession. So that third quarter, you're right, so critical, because for one thing, to, you know, to give your own defense a break, but also to make it possible for the other defense to get tired and for Derrick Henry to, you know, see a little bit more arm tackling, a little bit less resistance as the game goes on. So, yeah, that was an all-around great third quarter. I mean, the defense, you know, some bad moments against, you know, a really good quarterback, but you still, at the end of these games, you look and you say, if you exceed 20 points and you're the Titans, you can pretty much count on winning.
All right, so let's look at Vanderbilt, and it's certainly a perfect example. I threw out earlier in the show four examples over the last two Saturdays, the reason why we play these games, where just because you think you know what's going to happen on the field, you don't. And I was using the example of two Saturdays ago, Toledo, a 25.5-point favorite to Bowling Green, they lose. South Carolina, a 24.5-point underdog to Georgia, they win. And then this Saturday, Wisconsin, a 31-point favorite against Illinois, they lose. And then Missouri coming to town as a 21-point favorite against Vanderbilt, and a team that at to Saturday, leading up to Saturday, you thought, not a chance. And what do? They find a way to get the win on homecoming.
I mean, to me, that's a small line compared to what I would have expected. You know, when you talk about UNLV 34, Vanderbilt 10, and the way Missouri has been playing, clearly, there's a home road disparity with Missouri, which has lost, you know, also lost to Wyoming on the road. But my goodness, what a shocking result! I mean, there was no reason to think Vanderbilt's defense would have any resistance for Kelly Bryant, Missouri. I mean, based on what we have been seeing, and you're right, Johnny. That's why they play, and that's why we always keep in mind 18 to 22 year olds out there. And I will tell you that when Derek Mason, he made some declarations at his press conference Tuesday, and, you know, we've got the answers, and it's in-house. And I got to say, like, I always appreciate his enthusiasm, but I left there saying, man, I just, like, how could he think that? Like, how could he feel good about things, you know, based on what we're just seeing on the field? But, man, he got him to play, and, you know, it doesn't have some final comment on the season or on him or anything like that, but it was heading one way, and it took a sharp turn the other way. And I was on the field at the end of that game, and, you know, those guys were absolutely ecstatic, and they deserve to be, because it's been a rough fall for them.
I mean, you go back to Drew Locke playing quarterback for Missouri. Over the last 11 games, Missouri scored 31 or more points in every game. 11 straight games heading into Saturday, and you go, oh, they were just overrated. That's what happened. Ranked 22nd in the country. They weren't as good as, you know, their record or the way we looked at them prior to the game. And I go back, do you think Georgia was good? Oh, yeah, Georgia's good. Well, South Carolina beat Georgia, and, oh, by the way, Missouri beat South Carolina by 3 touchdowns. So stop with that nonsense. Give credit to Vanderbilt, especially on defense, for being able to hold Missouri to only 14 points.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You know, transitive football, you go ahead and go down that path enough, and you'll just find math that does not add up. It just does not make sense. So, yeah, I mean, look, one day, a lot of things can happen. But I thought, for one thing, you know, I thought Mo Hassan obviously gave them a spark. It's not like he was brilliant out there, but he just had an energy, and he made some big plays. You got to give Riley Neal credit, even though he threw that awful pick early. He did make some plays after that game was tied, and that were important. Of course, Keyshawn Vaughn, the main play. But, again, that defense, Derek Mason talked before the year, and early in the year, like, a lot of good young players. He likes the talent. He likes the upside. You know, they need confidence. They need to gel. go back to the schedule. You can't possibly have a worse schedule than Vanderbilt had this year. It destroys your young players' confidence. You're just getting blown out of these games. Maybe this was that moment where some guys figured some things out. A lot of them talked about, you know, just do your job. Don't try to do three jobs because you think this guy's not going to do his job. If everyone actually does their job, keeps it simple, you have a chance to play some defense.
And I go back to the defense, too. Yeah, we say they gave up 14 points. Honestly, one of those scores was set up by a mistake from an offensive standpoint with the interception, because they only had to go 6 yards with their second touchdown there in the third. And I wonder how many folks there, when all of a sudden it was 14-14 with a minute and 37 remaining in the third quarter, how many folks felt like Vanderbilt was going to find a way to get it done in the fourth?
Yeah, I won't say I was one of them. I mean, that's the thing. You know,
at least you're honest, Joe. I like that. At least you're honest.
Well, and I'm sitting, you know, I've got Teresa Walker and Adam Sparks to my Hall of Famer, Teresa Walker, to my left. And, you know, we're all like, yeah, there you go. They had it. They had this game. They were in good shape. And then that happens. But to their credit, they just stuck with it. So it's going to be interesting to see. They got some time off to, and it's great to have that time, you know, to build on that rather than stew on something bad. But we'll see what they can come up with for South Carolina. I'll be at that game. I'm looking forward to seeing if they, you know, if they can continue this.
Joe Rexrode with The Athletic here in Nashville joining us. You know, Tennessee, going into the game, there's two things important. You know, play respectfully to the point where you don't feel bad about yourselves after the game. Try to come away as injury-free as possible. Well, they accomplished the first thing, but the second part, I would be shocked if Brian Maurer is playing quarterback on Saturday against South Carolina. And in luck, unfortunately, if you're a fan of Tennessee, it looks like fences have been mended over the weekend between Jeremy Pruitt and Jarrett Garantano. I mean, I think Jarrett is man enough to realize he made a mistake, did not execute well with the 4th-and-1 situation, where you're one score away from making it a one-score game. And I mean, not to say that you still had a lot of faith that Tennessee was going to pull off the upset. Then again, though, in all these games where teams are pulling off upsets, it happens with situation like Tennessee scoring in that situation. But South Carolina, to me, just the fact back-to-back games against Georgia, Florida, I don't see how Will Muschamp is going to have South Carolina 100% prime mentally for this affair on Saturday. So I think everything can all be equaled out. I like Tennessee's chances against the Gamecocks Saturday.
I think they got a real chance. I think the way they're playing overall, you know, and I think, you know, I think they look, it doesn't take a lot for this fan base to rally around this team. They want to do it, and I think they've been really impressive all year, given the, you know, given what's been going on in the field. So, no, I like Tennessee's chances. I think this is going to be a really good football game. And yeah, look, I'd love to see how the rest of that game plays out. If Garantano just runs the play that was called, which it looked like Quaveris Crouch touchdown probably would have happened the way the blocking was, the way it looked from the aerial view. Have no idea why he did what he did, but you cough it up, the game's over right there. It would have been interesting, you know, with Tua out, Mac Jones in, you know, not much going on offense for that team, but that kind of pressure, how they would have responded. You know, I suspect they probably would have found a way to pull it out, but still, that would have been a really interesting scenario to watch. But, you know, Tennessee's got to move on from all the complaining about the refs, you know, terrible call on Daryl Taylor, some other weird things in that game. They got to move past that and focus, because this is the game, to me, that it's the swing game. Kind of like for Vanderbilt and Tennessee, South Carolina is that game that, you know, if you want to really be serious about a bowl game, you kind of have to win that one.
By the way, my most shocking moment, not necessarily the ending of the game, it was afterwards, after I got through with the Titans locker room, I went over to the Chargers locker room and actually had a very decent conversation, very enjoyable, with one Philip Rivers.
Very nice.
You know, because here's the thing.
Area, right?
Well, that's right. He's a native Decatur. I was born there, went to high school in Huntsville. And you know, I would, if I was in a situation where I lose a game like that, knowing now you're all of a sudden you're 2-5, I don't know how nice I would have been after the game. But we had a really nice one-on-one chat, and I was, you see how he responds on the field and his intensity, and then to see a different version of him, I have to admit, I was really shocked yesterday.